I could go for 2 or 3 hours and not even realize it.
BQ, it's time to go to bed.
Brian is sick after visiting the bottle dump. He was the only one of the party who was there to disrespect the bottle dump. Tell him, Steve Dave.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Tell Him, Steve Dave. I look to my left, I see Walt Flanagan.
Yo.
I look to my right, I see BQ.
Hey, bud.
Why would I bother looking forward? All I'm going to see is get him probably, so... Left and right. That's the way I'm fucking operating today. That's it. You can say Tell Him Steve Dave. That's all I got for this week. I've been sick for the past 3 days.
You've been sick?
I got fuck all. Yeah. I got some kind of chest congestion thing going on. Well, coughing and stuff.
Get him gave it to you.
Did he?
Yeah. He was sick.
Motherfucker, did you?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I didn't go anywhere.
Yes, you did.
That's right. We did go out.
No, I went on a day trip with Get Him and I thought I saw you guys go over to the side and speak nose to nose at a certain point. So
at least Rupert didn't see with the camera. That's all I care about. Yeah, we went on a day trip, Q.
Where'd you go? Well, tell me about this. I didn't hear about this.
We went to see we're working on something for Patreon where I try different hobbies.
And, okay.
So last week we went to a guy who's like the authority of Burlington County about bottles and bottle dumps, nearby bottle dumps.
Oh, you're jumping right into the bottle dump hobby.
And then we finally, after we talked to that expert in Burlington County, we got our bottle guy expert and he brought us to the fabled bottle dump of Monmouth County. Where Get Him Steve Dave had spent many an afternoon in his youth, and we got to see it. And the viewers and listeners will get to experience it as well in a future episode.
Were there still bottles afoot?
Fuck yeah. There was nothing but bottles. A lot of them were broken.
Wow. Yeah. And stoves and bed frames and car doors.
I mean, people have heard about it literally for a decade, and I can't believe it took us this long to finally be like, hey, show us where this fabled bottle dump is. And we took a trip out there, and we saw it firsthand. And you didn't have to dig very deep to find glass. I mean, it was all around you. I don't know how the fuck you found it from the path.
That's the big question.
I don't know how the fuck he found it in this forest. I don't know how he found it. When you leave the path, I'm just not sure why he left the path.
Yeah, like there has to be a reason to leave the path and like stumble upon it because it's not like – it's not 2 feet off of the train tracks.
Yeah.
It's like even when you get there, you're like, oh, this is it? Okay, now I can start to see all the bottles and stuff and the
– Sure.
The garbage.
Do you think that's – somebody told him about it or did he find it? Did you guys get to the bottom of this?
He staked the claim to it as his own, so I thought he found it.
Yeah, but it's like the pet cemetery, man. It's like passed down through whispers, you know, through the town. That's where the rumors are of the bird bottles.
Well, as much shit as was there, there's no way he's the first one. There was a lot of stuff there, man.
I just don't know how the fuck anybody like goes out there to dump a fucking stove or bed frames because you're like, how the fuck did they drag it all the way out here?
Yeah, it's like the most inconvenient spot. To drop off junk and garbage. Like, you know, you'll see every once in a while somebody drops a sofa off on the side of the road because they're like, fuck it, I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to pay to have it hauled off. That at least makes sense. But like.
Yeah, because it's easy.
Right.
So Q, I'm thinking, you know, it's got me really, my wheels are spinning. Brian is sick after visiting the bottle dump. He was the only one of the party who was there to disrespect the bottle dump. Is there maybe some sort of curse. Because I was very respectful. I was like, this is fucking sacred land. I made sure to keep like,
We walked all the way for this shit.
And then he walks home with a fucking fungus in his chest.
Yeah, I'm like, breathe deep, boys. We're out in nature. Fucking asbestos everywhere.
Do you think there's something to my theory that he just bottled up and now he has to make amends?
I think there's definitely a curse connected to the bottle dump, but I don't know if it's the one that you think it is. There's got to be some bodies out there, man. There's got
to be. I think there's just broken glass.
Well, Genom speculated that, or said at least, that since the train goes by, maybe the train stopped, and that's where they would dump stuff out sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. But the bottles, what fascinates me, all right, I realize I can learn all this by watching that episode, but a bottle dump expert. a bottle dump expert, like, have we ever gotten a real explanation for why certain areas become known for bottle dumping? Like, it just seems for bottle dumps to exist, that means an amount of humans had to all agree that they were going to lug their bottles to this place and dump them.
Yeah.
And why the fuck would anybody do that?
They told – we talked – get this, Q. We talked to two bottle dump experts in one day. So all those incredible questions were answered.
I was lightheaded.
But he said that people didn't have regular trash pickup. And there would be one – horse-drawn carriage that would come by and take your garbage. And that's how certain counties would get these one areas, because one guy was like getting paid to go, you know, door to door, be like, you got anything you want, and I'll pay me and I'll go drag it horse-drawn carriage to this dumping area that I know of. And it just became like the place to go before, you know, the organized sanitation pickups.
So an 1800s Gidim was running around in a rickety cart.
careful, Q. You don't want to get a fucking fungus in your respiratory system. Don't diss it.
It's interesting that comparing the person in 1860 who did that run to Gidim sounds insulting to you, Walter. Like, why is that an insult? I you know.
I know where you're headed. I can tell by the tone of your voice.
Yeah. Stop me before the curse gets me. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, this guy.
What's the name of the show?
Bri Tries.
Yeah, so far I've tried.
Don't give it all away? Yeah, don't give it all away. Just the first episode's coming out in a couple weeks. I'm going to make sure. What did you just tease him, Bri?
I try something.
Yeah, just tease
them. A couple different things.
We do two hobbies per episode.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Nice.
What would you consider your hobby to be, Q?
I guess these days I'm down to mainly reading, I guess, if that counts. I still like taking pictures. I do that a lot. I just don't really post them much. And video games, I think that would cover. I mean, comic books, I fold that into reading. You know what I mean?
He's got all kinds of
this guy's got a lot of free time.
Yeah.
He's got this much.
Where is he today? Yeah. Home reading comic books. I mean, and playing video games.
Well, video games are the only real one that you have to be locked in place for. Photography, you could do anywhere. That's the magic of it. And reading, you know, I'm on so many planes and shit. I'm on 10 flights a month, so it's an easy thing. It's really the video game ones. It's like I get home, it's late at night, and I play.
And how long will you lose yourself in a video game? Because I recall back in the day when I played video games, I could go for 2 or 3 hours and not even realize it.
Oh, God. Well, 2 hours is – that's me putting restraints on myself and being like, you can only play – like if I nestle down on that couch at like 10 o'clock, if I'm done by 1, that's successful. But if it's like a Fallout game, I mean, I could be there all fucking night. It could get bad.
Really?
It could get bad. Yeah, if the stories are that good and there's that much exploring to do, I'll look up and it's like 3 a.m. and
let's say
everything
if
hurts.
You have a friend over, does the friend get like, BQ, time to go to bed.
Not if they want to come back.
Shouted down at his own home. Trying to play his video games.
You're not paying attention to me, BQ. Pay attention to Fallout and all these monsters you're trying to kill.
Walt, if I'm inviting guests over that are age appropriate, they're all tired and ready for bed by 9:30 anyway, so don't worry about it. Ain't nobody getting bothered at 10 o'clock when I do.
This is what I think Gidim should do. This guy called himself the King of Burlington County. I guess just in reference to bottles, right?
Yeah. But he dubbed himself royalty based upon how many bottles he had found.
Yeah. Huh.
Some valuable ones, too. Oh, you'd be surprised. Well, at least that's how valuable he says they are.
This guy is giving me Dennis vibes. Is he like Dennis?
Well, it was his place was located in a antique store.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This sounds with so like far. You know how yep. it's check. Like
there's stuff everywhere, all over the place. A lot of old shit that'll never sell.
Do you think Dennis is selling magazines in heaven?
We're sure he's dead.
I do.
Yeah. Do you think that's what he would want to be doing? Is like. Setting up his stand up there and smoking with no fucking like doesn't have to like, worry about it.
I thought that was hell. Now I'm back to it.
No, I think he's up there selling magazines to the angels right now.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully, the angels are into cat fancy because he had plenty of those to bring with him.
Well, they're angels, so of course they are.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, we had a cat in the office last week. Very cute.
Oh yeah?
Walt's daughter's little tiny kitten. Pumpkin.
Yeah, I needed to watch the kitten for a couple days, and I brought it to the office. I'm not a
How
cat
old?
Guy. Oh, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 9 weeks.
That did it turn you into a cat person?
I didn't think it was going to. I just said to myself, you know, because I'm not real sure how to deal with cats or kittens, but his playfulness and his nonstop drive to like get into shit and just play was very infectious.
Yeah.
And I think he scratched me and I got cat scratch fever now. So
his breathing's been labored. He's got the same fungus I do.
That's all it takes, bud. That's all it takes is that one kitten to break the seal.
Even though I wouldn't be here to feed him or change the litter or anything, I did suggest an office cat, but I got roundly shot down.
Didn't? Oh, yeah. By who? By
you.
Me?
Yeah,
I don't remember you saying it.
Yeah, I said, oh, he was like, this cat is cool. We should have an office cat. You're like, I'm not a cat guy now.
Yeah, well, I could see it. You know what? Impossible. But I don't know if we're allowed to have a 24/7
pet
in the office.
Probably not.
Don't we already have get them? I mean, well, my cats just had kittens in the yard. They just started coming out this week. So I have 3 new kittens that I'm looking over in the yard. So if you want one, Walt, I got a line on some kitten action.
Let me sleep on it.
Well, he was saying this kitten was scaring socks too, so that's no good.
Oh, that's no good. Yeah.
My cat has taken to for some reason we've had the puppy for the dog about a year now. For some reason, within the past 2 weeks, my black cat Salem has become very protective. Like if the dog comes over near me, like Salem will run over and be like meow, and like try to get him away, and then like look for to get pet as a reward for chasing him off. Shit. He's become like real territorial with me for some reason. I think jealousy. There's a lot of jealousy in that house with these pets.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, are they picking it up from the alpha?
me stomping around, like, what'd you pay? You know what? You might not be that far off, because I have mentioned, I was like, I remember when I used to get this kind of attention to Mary Beth with a puppy. Did that happen to you too?
What, with the kitten?
No, with the dogs. With the when you got first get the dogs, like, does that pay all the attention to them and none to you? Because that's the way I found it to turn out.
You know, I mean, I wasn't that like insecure that I didn't realize that that a puppy might need some attention more than I might need some.
She's always like, oh, love you, kissing him on the nose, love you, all this shit. What do I get?
You want her to treat you that way?
Maybe. Take me outside once in a while. Yeah, I love you once in a while. Wouldn't it be bad?
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
The honeymoon's over. That's what
it's
got
to be by this
point,
right? Yeah.
It's just natural.
It'll be 4 years in August.
That can't be over by then, man. You got
the honeymoon?
At least the honeymoon. I think you're a newlywed till you're 5 years, right?
Well, it was pretty damn close. Come on.
Yeah, it's me you're talking about. You think I'm going to do anything all the way? Do it half-assed. My nature.
We do have a show called Bride Tries for a Reason, you know. This was just pulled out of the sky, nilly-willy. Like, this is a history of, you know, not trying.
Yeah. It's all very new to me.
Yeah. I understand now.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we got going on. Q, you got is Radio City sold out, or can people still get a couple tickets here and there?
I think there's there's definitely – we just released a few tickets. You know, they always hold a certain amount of tickets, so we just released them. But it'll be sold out, so
all right.
It'll get there. So if anybody wants to come, now's the time. We just released some good tickets.
All right.
Can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a big thing, man.
It is.
Fuck a Radio City, bro. I mean, that's you know.
You know, legends have fucking, you know, stood on that stage where you're going to stand yourself, you know. Just recently, you know, Barry Manilow played the piano right where you're going to be dancing and
shucking. Jiving.
Yeah, it's true. I'll be it's not lost on me, man. It's one of those – there's a few theaters, there's a handful of theaters around the country that – when you get to play them, you're like, oh, this is an honor to play it. This, the Ryman Theater in Nashville, the Greek Theater in L.A., Chicago Theater. Like, you just get there and they're works of art. And they have such storied history that you can't believe that they let a schmuck like me on the stage. You know, it's not lost on me.
Now, is Carnegie Hall a bigger deal or Radio City a bigger deal? I always feel like the joke
I think
about
Radio
Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, I think Radio City is the bigger deal. I mean, Carnegie Hall is big deal. Like, it's not like not, but I think Radio City's a little more iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's a matter of opinion, I guess. Mm. Well, I haven't played Carnegie Hall, so I'll tell you right now, Radio City's the better
of the two.
Right. The more prestigious of the two. Yeah.
Go with that. There's also Sunday. There's a big deal on Netflix, Walt. Will you be we'll be watching the roast of Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I won't watch that.
You're not going to watch it?
No, I'm not interested. And even in – like when we did the roast of BQ back for Final Cast 2, I have to say, even though people really adored it and it was killer, it's one of the best things that people say we've ever done, I was not comfortable in the roast atmosphere. I didn't like it. I actually hated it. I hate that kind of like – being mean at someone else's expense. And I know they're going to fucking bring up deflating the balls, kissing his son.
Right. All the easy ones.
Cheating and all this other shit. And, you know, why would I want to?
I don't
want to
see anything that humanizes the guy.
I am not interested in seeing, you know, everybody like professional comedians, like tear him apart. And then he has to then get up and try to read and
try to defend himself.
Follow that. Yeah. I don't know how that's going to come off. And I am not interested in seeing him like attempt, you know, because that takes some skill to come back at those guys.
He is writers, I'm sure.
You don't think Tom Brady's just going to do it all himself the way he does shit?
I can't tell if you're joking. There's no way he's doing that by himself.
Well, then what's the point then?
Well, he may not have the difficult time that you think.
I'm to entertain.
Celebrity lineup for Tom Brady's roast on Netflix revealed. Sorry. This is somebody speculating on who might. Oh, Russell Wilson of the Denver Broncos.
Okay, he's a football player, so
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's just weird, though. Like, why would he want to do this, Q?
They're all football players.
Oh, it's not professional comedians?
It doesn't look like – well, there has to be
something. I heard Jeffrey Ross was going to be on it, no?
He's probably going to be the roast master. That's what I would
say. I thought Kevin Hart was the roast master.
Oh, is he?
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. But why would somebody want to do this, Q, in your opinion?
Because I think that not everybody feels the same way about you. I think some people – as you do. I think some people are like, I get it. I know what's going on. You know, I think – I don't know. I don't think everybody's as bothered by it as you are.
Yeah, but why do it? Like, what motivates someone to do it? You don't need the money. You don't need the attention. Why squirm in your seat for 3 hours as people tear you apart? And then you got to get up and return the favor. And you think he's got a team of writers who he's going to rely on to go back
at
them.
Walter, I would bet every single penny I own that he has writers working on that. I know for a fact it's impossible that he doesn't. There's no way Netflix is pouring all this money into it and then being like, go ahead, Tom, write something.
It's up to you.
it won't be a big deal. It's just not happening.
Is it even Ben Affleck is a probable attendee?
Well, he's a big Boston guy.
Boston fan, yeah.
See, what's the point then, like, for everybody at home then? Because then
– I think it's just funny. It's just entertaining. It's just supposed to be fun.
Do you think he can deliver the proper – like delivery of the jokes in a way that are going to like a
are you afraid
a
trained, Tom's going to make an asshole out of himself? And that's
no.
Yes,
but,
you are.
But a trained comedian up there reading his jokes as opposed to Tom reading some writer's jokes. Do you think he's going to be able to land and perform well enough to make where it doesn't feel like incredibly awkward?
I mean, I guess we'll find out, but I think that that it would be written to his – tailored to him, you know? And I also think that if there's one thing I learned about this guy is that he's just the greatest. If there's something to be good at, he's going to be good at it. So we might see the birth of a brand new comedic legend.
Well, he's not good at marriage. On this we thing. Know that much.
I thought it was his wife's fault. I thought we all agreed it was his wife's fault.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I told you, he's got a fever. Brian, he's...
he's got, What did I say something anti-Tom Brady? More medicine.
Yeah, I'm not... I just don't get it. I don't understand it all comes from not digging the whole... It's like a very mean-spirited way to spend an evening. I don't understand it, but I realize that if people love this, the roast format as a form of comedy and... It's not for everyone.
Have you ever seen the old ones, like the real old ones? With,
yeah.
It's insane, the shit they say.
Oh, yeah.
Like stuff.
I don't think they've – I don't think you'll – I bet you if it's on Netflix, I think they're going to go to areas you'd never dream they would go to.
Well, it says unedited.
Yeah. I believe it's going to be just as shocking as a 70s one, if not more so.
Really?
Yeah. I do.
All right. We'll have to see.
If you were going to go after him with one joke, which the wary you'd – target. It's like, I know where everybody's going to go. I'm going to go here. Or do you think there's an area you'd be like, I'm not going there? I'm curious what you would do.
I don't think there's an area. I think, though, if you're going to do it, just do it. You know what I mean?
So you would bring up the jokes about him and kissing his son and maybe even more explicit?
That might not be the angle I take, but I wouldn't frown upon somebody taking that angle.
Oh, that's so dicey, man.
Is the Giselle stuff still too new and raw?
Oh, I think it's all Giselle stuff.
All Giselle stuff?
And I think he welcomes it. I bet you that's the area he's okay with.
Something about a deflated football and Giselle, there's some parallel there we could make. I don't know. There's something to be done there. But I bet you most of the roasters up there have writers helping them come up with jokes, too.
Could you imagine if the producers of the show, you know, are looking for, let's think outside the box for people to roast Tom Brady. And you're like, you know, I'm thinking about that guy in Comic Book Man. He was funny, and they got me, and then they asked me to do it, and I came in, and I wouldn't reveal my material, and it was nothing mean or nasty.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, people would love you. Yeah, that's what we're here for. Your ass-kissing of Tom Brady.
I would endear myself to the man, though, right?
Yeah, probably. If you did it so straight-faced, it would probably be funny, like in the middle of it all. Like if you just played it completely straight.
Like if you had like a Norm MacDonald delivery.
Yeah, and just cleaned his balls relentlessly, it might cross the line into
– I think that's why I've been doing like, for the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, doing one long roast.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in it, Brian. I would appreciate no one emailing me clips or letting me know what was said. I really want to go radio silent on this one.
Yeah.
Ants, please let me live in ignorance of – you know, of this particular incident. I would rather not know what was said.
All right.
Even if he fucking kills it, even if Brady fucking.
You're like, what if he destroys and like the other comics are left in awe?
In the unlikely event that that happened, I still wouldn't want to. It's not for me.
I mean, now that you see the lineup, though, it's mostly his contemporaries. It's not going to be comics and thank God it's not washed up comics. A lot of times these celebrities will get like comics that are not on like, you know, the A-list or B-list is just kind of like an embarrassing thing all around. So at least it's like his contemporaries. You got Jeffrey Ross, who's like – he's at every roast. He's mm-hmm. like the guy. Kevin Hart is a funny guy. So
I bet you Kevin Hart's going to have some fucking bombs.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Hart's very funny.
He's going to have to like – especially as the host, he's got to have the best stuff, you would think. So he's going to have to go for the throat.
Well, that's after they have to go after everybody. So right. Let's see who else was on this.
A lot of if it's all players, I'm not sure how that really. Belichick's going to do it. Wow,
so he could join.
This
the
could
cast.
Be this could be the train wreck of train wrecks.
You might have to watch this, man.
Yeah. So yeah, they'll go after the other guys, the Patrick Mahomeses and the. I mean, how hard is it to roast Travis Kelce at this point?
Yeah.
Oh, so what? You're bagging the most beautiful and famous woman in the world right now? Oh.
You know what I saw? Speaking of Travis Kelce, well, speaking of his, what's it, Travis, Taylor Swift, Joe Elliott, Def Leppard, the lead singer.
Okay.
I saw he said in an interview that Taylor Swift is bigger than the Rolling Stones and the Beatles combined.
At this point?
And I'm like, why does he have to say that at this point? Like what we all, like, why do we all have to believe it too then when we know it's not true? Like, why do we have to just cause she's the most current thing? But it seems like such a, like, fall into place. She's definitely the biggest and greatest thing, bigger and better than combined in the Stones and the Beatles. We know it's a ridiculous statement.
And who yet, said this? This is what Travis Kelce said?
No, this is what Joe Elliott of Def Leppard said.
Oh, Joe Elliott of Def Leppard said. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what kind of like exercise is going on here that we have to like say these things?
What the fuck? That's the entire world, bro. The entire world is fucking, here's what's what, and you better fucking fall in line, no matter how much you disagree with it. It's just lucky that it's safe harbor that we can say that Taylor Swift may not be bigger than Stones and Beatles combined.
Yeah, but by what metric, though? Because there might be a metric that she is.
Like, well, it's streaming. Probably, yeah, and
she's
streaming.
She's definitely earned more touring than they have.
Because of her ticket prices?
Well, ticket prices, the fact that the Beatles stopped touring after a few years.
Yeah, but the Stones have been going on for 60 years.
But the impact of the Stones and the Beatles combined, to say it with a straight face is like kind of like something weird's going on, man. Something weird is going on. Like why is he being forced to say this when it's so painfully obvious it's not true?
I think we're just getting old, dude. I think that if you asked people in their 20s who was a bigger influence, who mattered more to them, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or Taylor Swift. I don't even think it'd be close.
Yeah,
I think Taylor Swift would blow them all away. I think it's just it's the new world. I think in the new world, she is probably bigger than the Beatles and the Rolling Stones put together.
Now, I am no hater of Taylor Swift. I don't begrudge her. I just find it weird that that there's this kind of like line you got to get in, and everybody's like, yep, she's bigger and better than the Beatles and the Stones combined.
Whoa, I don't think that anybody's saying she's better than the Beatles and the Stones. I think bigger is different.
Okay, all right, maybe, yeah, I'm reading more into it when he said it, bigger. Okay, but yeah. I've listened to some of the songs recently. Gidim was playing some of her songs. Perfectly normal. What I expect, it kind of sounds like Disney-esque music to me, like Disney Channel. And okay. Nothing where I'm like – but I just don't hear something that like is influential as like the Beatles though, which I don't – like literally changed the face of music. Can she make that same claim though? Like, or is it just sound like the same kind of music that I've heard since the 2000 started to my year?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that because I agree. Oh, look, I
think he's gone.
They got him.
They got Joe Elliott School of public speaking.
Quite the opposite. What I was about to say was the opposite, which is like, look, like there's a bunch of Taylor Swift that I like, but like I wouldn't say that she's more influential on the history of music than the Beatles. I wouldn't say she's better than the Beatles at all. At this point.
Maybe I was just too quick to the jump. Like it kind of like I was like, come on, that's just outlandish.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. I think she has the first $1 billion tour in history.
Yeah. But she's charging isn't she charging like more than what you have to pay for on the black market for kidneys and shit?
Well, she's not the aftermarket sellers are. Oh, okay. There's nothing.
And it doesn't really matter anyway because as long as people are willing to pay it, then she's not overcharging.
But she doesn't get that. Like if someone's paying $1,000 for a ticket, she's not actually getting that, right? Or more than $1,000. She's just the aftermarket, right?
There's a shady aftermarket. That is basically – so what they tried to do was there's like scalping, which is just people buying these tickets and selling them. And then I think the Ticketmaster Marketplace is like in some form or way like a legal way for the artist to scalp their own tickets or something like that, like to cut scalpers out. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. But so I do think – I don't think she's getting it all, but I do think there's a nice lift to – that goes her way as well.
She wasn't very vocal about that kind of stuff either. Like every once in a while, like say a Pearl Jam or Rage Against the Machine, they get all pissy because of these aftermarket sellers. So they like go out of their way to make sure that they can't do it or they price the ticket really low or something like that.
Yeah, she does that thing where she saves the front rows for real fans and brings them from the top down to the front. And she, whatever city she does a concert in, she does a lot of charity work there.
Yeah.
Like she comes in, I think really she's just like kind of this force for good.
And I do want a little caveat to this. I do not want anybody upset. I'm not saying like, I know that her fans are fucking rabid dogs. And I am not in no way saying that, you know, that she doesn't deserve every bit of her success. She absolutely does. But I just found it strange, though, that like in almost like a hypnotizing way that like you have to say that she's all like literally. Well, it's Jesus and then Taylor Swift in terms of how big people are right now. And I guess Lennon said the same thing back in the 60s. All right. And he got some flack for it. But
yeah.
As of 2022, Taylor Swift says Ticketmaster fiasco pisses her off. It's excruciating for her to just watch mistakes happen. And I guess, she's mad that that scalpers are able to do this.
Do you think the people who are the most rabid of rabid Swifties, do you think they grow out of it at a certain point? Or do you think this is a lifelong devotion to like chasing down anybody who and destroying anybody who may say something negative about I'm talking about the most rabid ones. I'm not all Swifties are like that. Please, like the, dear God, please, I don't want anybody coming after me.
Walt's apology tour.
But, you know, you I mean, I've read on the internet there's some
ill ones?
That the some Swifties are – they're pretty intense. Do you think that that's something that they move on to a different artist, or do you think their devotion is for life, even when she's in her 50s?
Yeah, I think she's got her hooks in a lot of people for a long time.
Or is it like any number of boy bands where it's like they have that they have that peak and then they come down to where like nobody's listening to them, but then they come back again because of nostalgia, because all these old ladies are like, oh, I remember Joey Fatone back in the day.
But you don't think she'll get into the Madonna range of at a certain point when she gets to the Madonna age? She'll become the Madonna of her time, though, where it's just not the same level of interest by the public, the media, and maybe even the fan base. Or no, you don't
Madonna's,
think
– Madonna's selling out Madison Square Garden in minutes.
Okay, but yeah. Does she have any kind of fan base that's going to do what the Swifties are reportedly doing? Does she have that kind of like Svengoolie kind of spell?
I'm sure she does. It's an arc. It's like Brian said, there's an arc to a career, right? One day Taylor will be – I mean, look at Alanis Morissette. Remember how fucking big she was? Like, who? She was everywhere.
Alanis Morissette?
Oh, yeah.
Alanis Morissette. And now, like, you don't really hear about Alanis Morissette much anymore. But
decades.
I guarantee they're – but – she's still putting out albums, and she still goes on tour. She still has fans.
What about wasn't before Taylor Swift? Wasn't it Beyonce was the queen of entertainment?
I mean, I just really would like to clarify that you're talking to a 48-year-old guy who doesn't fucking like. I don't. Everything I'm saying is just
to me. You're like 20. To me, you're eternally 20 in my eyes.
Like, I'm not an expert in any way. Like, I'm just like looking and seeing what I see. Like, I don't know shit. I think Beyonce is another one that's like kind of floats above the general rules.
Right. But she's kind she's kind of has to look up at Taylor now, right?
Well, she's won the most Grammys out of any artist in the history of the Grammys. So what metric are we looking at these people? You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. But do you think that Taylor has eclipsed her? Or do you want, answer that question?
I think. Taylor has eclipsed Beyonce. I think that would probably bother Beyonce. Yeah, I do. Yeah. But if Beyonce, if I was Beyonce, I don't give a fuck. I'd be like, I'm Beyonce.
Number two is fine, Beyonce. Right? Number two is a great position.
Yeah, I would be like, I'm not even number two. I'm Beyonce. Like, go fuck yourself. Like, you know what I mean? I think I would be comfortable saying that. But
yeah, like you're going by one name. You're okay. You're doing all right. Yeah, although, I don't know. What about Get Him?
Well, he's got three.
Yeah, Get Him Steve Dave. Four. Get Him Steve Dave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. Joe Elliott would say something. He probably just wants to become more relevant, right? Like if he says something nice about Taylor Swift.
I don't think that's how it works.
No.
I don't think you just become more relevant. Like all the Swifties are going to go fucking go buy Def Leppard albums.
Def Leppard shit.
I don't think so.
Well, they got into ballads and stuff. They used to be hard rocking, like On Through the Night back in the 80s.
Oh, the Leppard?
Yeah, Def Leppard.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had their time. You know, nothing lasts forever. Not even Swifties will last forever.
I really want this to blow up and get on like TMZ or something, like three podcasters. Shit.
I mean, not the last forever. I mean, it's not saying something that's outlandish. I mean, somebody will eclipse her at some point. She will be eclipsed by somebody else, just like every other artist, just like Elvis was eclipsed, it's just the nature of history. You can just look back on and see it.
Doesn't mean that her career won't continue to be
right
seismic. Yeah, exactly, it always will be.
Yeah.
Well, you had a good point. Well, it made me think about it where you were saying, does every generation need something like this? Need like the one huge act, whether it be the Beatles or whether it be Madonna or whether, you know.
I think there's always somebody has to fill that spot as the hugest thing in music. Somebody's got to fill it, a group, a single artist. That's my theory.
And this is – these decisions are made by business people, you think?
No, I think the people – it's the only – one of the –
people decide?
One of the few things that people have a real say in, you know, rising to the top, I think. It's the real – I mean, they vote with what they want to listen to. You can't stop that.
No. Nah. It does speak to the power of little girls too, like – like that's who Swifties are, basically, like girls between the ages of you know, 8 and 20, 8 and 25, somewhere in there. Like Troy's daughter went to the Swiftie concert, and she got dressed up, and she was, you know, college aged, and she got all dressed up, and everybody else is dressed up. Like that's a big thing now, like when they go see – when women and girls go see the performers that they like to dress up like as the person or in one – like I guess Eras.
Well,
the Eras tour, like there's all different outfits that she wore during her tour, so people would dress up in different costumes.
Well, you didn't notice that I didn't wear sweatpants. I went to see Ace.
Well, what were you wearing? You weren't wearing jeans. I know that much.
I put on my black cargo pants.
I didn't. I meant to say, because we were in the office and I meant to say something and then I fucking forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got dressed up too. Yeah.
It's a concert. Remember when you used to wear cargo pants all the time?
You don't go fucking see Ace Frehley in fucking sweatpants.
I didn't. I put on my respectable jeans.
Yeah, I think it doesn't. It just makes it more fun to get dressed up and go to the concert. No,
does it?
No, there's a line.
I guess
for me.
So. Yeah,
it's like real pants.
That line is cargo,
and that's
pants.
It. You know, like anything else is just too much. It's just too much weight for me to fucking carry if I got to fucking also put on a collared shirt or something.
But think about it though. But think about what you just said. You basically dress up for the concert to the best of your ability. You went to the limit for Ace.
I did.
So that's what these girls are doing. Their limit's just a little bit past yours is all.
Yep.
But it's the same fervor. It's the same fucking need to be in those cargo pants in front of Ace. You know what I mean? It's just your version of it. I think it's beautiful.
Could Ace Frehley write the greatest album of all time and release it and eclipse Taylor Swift? Is it possible, or is it just like, no, he has to sell?
Does Taylor Swift sing it?
Does he literally have to sell his soul to the devil for that to happen? Like, is there an art? Like, is there a chance that a guy like Ace Frehley could just pen the fucking greatest album in mankind's history, and could it eclipse her popularity just for a month or two? Or is that 70 sure?
I mean, anything's possible. Why not? I'd love to see it.
I would too.
Or if like the most unlikely duet, you know, that would be
how pissed is Gene Simmons if they pull it off? Like if Ace just rockets to the top, Gene can't take it, right?
I think there's three people in that band that can't take it. Yeah.
We were talking about football before, and I taught Sage how to bet. She knows how to bet now. But I was wondering, like, if I'm doing it the right way, because we play Uno.
I can't imagine. If this is leading into a fucking ad.
Oh, no, it's not. It's
okay,
not.
I was going to say. I can't imagine that that whatever that fucking site is that pays us is wants a lead-in of you teaching a minor how to bet.
Yeah. And not only that, she keeps losing. No, she likes to play. We like to play Uno, so I challenge her all the time. And then the other day, she wanted to order dinner. She loves ordering dinner. She loves like cheeseburgers from this one place. Mm. So I said, "All right." I said, "We'll have a bet." She's like, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, it's, you know, basically, you know, what a bet is." And I said, "If I win, Rosie, you know, Mary Beth has to make dinner just like any other night. But if you win, we get to have. You can order." And so she said, okay. And then it turned into, if either Mary Beth or Sage wins, we get to order. So it's now 2-3. Statistically, the odds are stacked against me.
Yeah.
I win 3 games the first time. And I'm like, sorry, but, you know, she has to make dinner. And then we played again yesterday, and I won again. Now, statistically – now, this should not be happening. I shouldn't be winning this much, like especially me against both of them. And I almost threw the game for yesterday, and then I was like, you know what? Let her learn.
Better learn.
Because eventually what's going to happen is I'm going to start losing all these games in a row, and we're going to be ordering like crazy. So her day will come. But I was wondering, is that setting a bad example if I throw the game to let her win? Or does she need to learn defeat?
In a world where
I felt a little bad for
her. That defeat is just around the corner for all of us. Is there, like, why on earth?
Everywhere I turn, you're right.
Why do you want to, like, teach her that, like, you know, when you can make Lace at home, like, her win? I don't know.
She's been winning her whole fucking life, this kid. You know? Yeah. Everybody likes her. Everything turns up sage.
Didn't she get bit or something like that?
She did. That girl didn't seem to like her. Yeah, the one who bit her. Yeah, I don't even think we ever talked about that. Did we talk about that on the show? Q.
No. What happened? She got bit.
Yeah, she was at school. Well, she wasn't at school. Like, they go out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They go out to like a work site, and they do little tasks and jobs that they're assigned. So she was at lunch, and she got ketchup on her pants, and this other girl kept like touching the ketchup spot on her pants, and she told this is what I was told. She asked her, like, can you stop that? And the girl freaked out and bit her on the chest. Ooh. And it was a nasty bite, too. Like, I saw it. And it was a friend of hers, somebody she's been going to school with since, you know, probably fifth grade. But just in that moment, didn't want to be told not to touch the ketchup stain. And then the school won't tell you anything about it either. You're like, well, who did it? They're like, well, we can't say. And we knew who did it because Sage told us. And then we talked to the mom of the girl who did it. And she was like, they wouldn't tell me who she bit.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I asked Rupert, and he said that, like, they're not allowed to say shit about anybody at school. Like,
even if somebody assaults your child, they won't tell you who did it.
They won't tell you who did it. Yeah. I found that to be pretty surprising.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it has to be like a newsworthy story that has a viral video that goes along with it, and then you get to find out. But otherwise, yeah, they would not say anything about it. I thought it was strange.
Shit. So did her and a friend make up? Is this
– They made up, yeah. They made up, and they're buddies again.
Yeah, well, then all's well that ends well.
Yeah. But this is the same school that, like, you know, like, they're like, keep – hammering home, it's her snoring. they keep hammering at, like, you know, Sage feeling safe at school with the other stuff, with the, like, you know, the ghosts under the bed and all the other bullshit that she was talking. And the question was, like, well, how is she supposed to feel safe at school if people are attacking and biting her? And she's like, no, she's safe there. It's like, no, she's not. She is not. By definition, she's not. She just got attacked.
Yeah, but you want to be careful, because, you know, if Sage goes in and tells school that, you know, you're fucking betting and taking her and making her lose, you know, four straight times, so you can turn the tables on you.
That's true. She's being abused at home by betting. But they want to know everything. They want to know if you have guns in the house.
They can ask you those questions. To guns.
Yeah, they can ask you.
But they can't tell you. They can't tell you who bit her. But they
can't tell you who bit her.
Yeah.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was. I thought that was strange.
I went back based on a conversation we had last week. I rewatched the newer Planet of the Apes to get ready for the new one,
right.
For the fourth one that's coming out. Dude. How could the old Planet of the Apes be better than these? They were so every one of these were fucking great, those three.
They were really good, but are you familiar with the old ones too or no?
Anytime I've seen the old ones, I always just thought they were kind of corny. But man, like, this is – these were fucking excellent, man. I forgot how good War for the Planet of the Apes was, man. It was unbelievable.
It's really – they are really good, but are you sure you gave the originals a fair shake that you're like, these are corny? There was no corn in any of those movies.
Isn't he kissing a monkey in one? I don't know.
What, you mean Taylor kissing Zira?
That's always what I remember as a kid watching that.
That
and being
was progressive
like, what the fuck
for its time.
Why? He's kissing an animal. All right.
I agree with you. Those new eight movies, I feel, are criminally underrated in terms of, like, giving respect to the original franchise and really not, you know, disrespecting or doing anything but honoring the original and really elevating the new stuff.
Yeah,
and they don't get a lot of credit for that. They're kind of forgotten, those movies.
I don't. That's the reason I brought it up, because I was like, I can't believe these aren't talked about more. The third one is amazing. It's more of a prison break movie than fucking any. I was like, you're spending more than half the movie in a prison. I was like, this is fucking unbelievable. Dude, I was so – and I had seen it before, and I was so fucking into it that I was just like on the edge of my seat, like fucking like whole – you know, I was getting worried and stuff like that. I had seen the movie. It was blown fucking away, and I was like, I can't see how the originals are better than this. I can't.
Well, I think you've got to sit down and watch him and give him a fair shot there. I mean, you can't deny that the original has the most shocking M. Night Shyamalan ending ever when, you know, in the Statue of Liberty. I mean, no one saw that shit coming. That was the granddaddy of M. Night Shyamalan, whatever that guy's name is.
I get that.
Right? I mean,
that's accurate.
That was the guy who, like, you know – they did it first, and they did it. I don't know if there's been a more like shocking ending or like twist ending, like gut punch than that Statue of Liberty. Nobody saw that coming, I bet you. I bet you people were like catatonic in the theater as the credits rolled when that fucking – after seeing that. When they didn't know about it, pre-internet, you know, and right. You walked in, you saw that. That had to be like chilling.
Yeah, you're right. I could see it. How many ape – movies are there?
Five.
In the original run?
Five.
Five. And they're all good, or like, just watch the first two?
I think the first one is a masterpiece. I think the second one is so strange that you'll love it. It's so weird. Charlton Heston didn't want to do it, and so he only's in it for a couple moments of the film, and they get a lookalike astronaut to come in. Not that it kind of looks like him, a younger version of him. He's not playing Heston in the movie, but it's another handsome guy that hooks up with Nova, the savage chick Nova. And Escape is just the most underrated of them all, where they come to the present time. Where
I got to watch him.
They blow up the world at the end of Beneath the Planet of the Apes. They literally blow it up. But the monkeys take a rocket ship and go back in time just as the Earth blows up to our time.
Okay.
It's so – the science fiction is on like – it's like if you love comics, you will fall in love with these movies. They are the first, I believe – walking, talking motion pictures for comic book geeks. They are. They're really well done. They're slower though. I'm gonna cop to that. It does take. I know you're 20, but you have to. you have to try to have some patience, you whippersnapper, because they don't have the same level of like kinetic fucking energy and fuck, something's happening at all times. They make you. They pace it out.
They pace it out.
And Conquest is great too.
That's the third.
That's the fourth one. And the last one's not that great. It's called Battle for the Planet of the Apes. And the budget was fucking cut by a third. They got the makeup's not good on all the apes in the background. You could see the rubber masks. And they didn't have the same level of budget to do it. And they kind of like phoned it in. But one through four, I dig.
What about the TV show?
I love the TV show, but I may only love it because I grew up on it. I may have a soft spot for it that I'm neglecting that it wasn't that great because I love it because I remember growing up on it.
And where does it take place in the timeline? Because I think the TV show is really my only – growing up was my only real – aside from seeing the first movie at some point.
They basically just take the concept. That an astronaut went into the past. The two astronauts go into the past. They wind up in the future, and they're trying to figure shit out. But there's no
– So it's a reboot.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the history lesson on it. I'm going to watch. I'm gonna watch the first one tonight.
Yeah, it's good. And also, you know, you got to think back too that the era was released with the civil rights and everything, and it was – it was like playing on two different levels. They were making statements that, you know, were very deep and of its time, and but using the role of man and sure. apes for, you know, the current world events, you know, the parallels.
Right.
And yeah, Heston's, I get it. I mean, even, Heston's the bomb. You know, Heston, you got to love Charlton Heston, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't have that love for him. Well, what is Charlton Heston's big hits besides Apes?
Oof. Earthquake. The Omega Man.
Omega Man, right, right.
Was he in that Bible movie?
Oh, yeah, Ben. Oh, yeah, the Ten Commandments. That's a, he's yeah. a fucking – oh, my God, I've, man. Everybody wants to fucking – get with fucking Heston after the Ten Commandments.
Oh, who was he? Moses?
He was like the first action hero, man.
Yeah, I get it, and I understand his place in history, but I don't think I've ever been like, yeah, Heston's my man type of thing. Like Eastwood, I would say, is more my type than Heston.
I'm going to call it right here, right now. If BQ is going to have chills up and down his back when Heston fucking delivers the fucking line, especially after you watch the whole movie when he goes, get your fucking damn dirty paws off me, you damn dirty ape. I'm sure he said damn and dirty. He didn't say it twice.
Didn't say fucking yeah. either.
Oh, but it's delivered so well. He should have got the Academy for that.
Really?
Just that line, yeah. So well done, yeah. Right. Great, great stuff.
All right, I mean, these three were so good. I'm going to jump back in. I'll give it a shot.
When's the new one come out?
Next week.
I'll be there.
Next week. Oh, I'll definitely be there, man. Between that and the Fall Guy, you guys, I can't wait for the fucking Fall Guy, man. I feel like they're like starting to make movies kind of fun again. Like, I look at that Fall Guy trailer and I'm like, all right, this looks like I can shut my brain off and fucking watch some funny shit for a couple hours. This is what I'm talking about.
Did you watch the show?
When I was a kid, yeah. That I did watch.
I did not watch. I don't have any experience with the Fall Guy, so maybe that's why it kind of like goes over my head. I have no excitement for it.
I don't have any reverence for it. I'm not like, let's see what Easter eggs they get in this movie. I'm literally like, I watched that trailer and I'm like, this looks like they're having so much fun in this movie. That's what I want to say. Yeah, I don't care about. Although it's not a bad idea for a TV show. A guy who's a stuntman who at night is a private detective. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good fucking setup to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Lee Majors, into that. Man. Yeah,
Majors.
Yeah.
He's in this too. I guess he makes a cameo. After leaving the business 1 year earlier, battle-scarred stuntman Colt Seaver springs back into action when the star of a big studio movie suddenly disappears. All right. And it's a 2-hour and 5-minute comedy. That's long.
Are you worried that it's a comedy?
No, excited that it's a comedy. Yeah, that's what I mean. I just want to have fucking fun. You know what I mean? Give me goofy fun. No lessons. I don't want to learn any lessons in The Fall Guy. I just want to watch an idiot blunder through a case. Like, that's all I want.
Did you catch Dune 2?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay.
The first Dune, I didn't really hit with me.
I thought it was good. I thought the second one was good, too.
Yeah.
They're not fun, though. I would not use the word fun to describe them, though. They're pretty bleak. And
yeah,
super serious and super grim, but yeah, I like that too. Yeah.
I'm into that. I just I'm in the mood to sink my teeth into nonsense, you know?
I hear you.
You're a Ryan Gosling fan?
I mean, he's yet to let me down from the fucking Notebook all the way up, you know? Actually, I didn't like La La Land that much, but aside from that, the guy is yet to let me down. He's my favorite part of Barbie, so I'm fucking in.
Yeah, he was good in Barbie.
He was so good in Barbie. Yeah. You're just like, how does a guy have this much talent? It's crazy.
Bastard. And at first, I'm trying to convince myself that those were not his real abs.
Oh, those are his abs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was like, it can't be.
Those are his fucking abs.
It can't be. I was told the other day that I was putting Mary Beth off because I was paying attention to her. I decided, like, because a lot of times – I find myself not listening to what she's saying because she tends to babble about shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to start listening because a lot of times I get caught where she's like, you know, and I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And so I paid attention to her the other day, and she goes, stop. And I go, what do you mean stop? And she goes, just don't like look at me when I'm talking to you like that. And I was like, what? I'm paying attention. She goes, I know, I'm not used to it. It actually put her off because I was making a determined effort to listen to her.
What was the conversation though, that you were paying attention to?
It was something about her mom. I don't recall.
Was it frivolous or was it important?
It always is. she's one of those people. She likes to babble and just like it's almost like she's talking to herself, but you happen to be in the room, so you're held accountable.
Dude, I think you married Pam.
Oh, you would think? Dude, it couldn't be more on the money. Well, as we learned last week, I sucked on both their tits.
You would. I mean, Freud. What's that guy?
Oh, Freud.
Freud would. Yeah. You would be his prize fucking study. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, I think he'd have a field day with you.
Together, talking about moms. Yeah, I think you're right. What'd you say?
So, Kim? What's the solution here? If you can't win listening, and you can't win not listening.
I mean, not listen then. It's the path of least resistance, right? Just don't listen. So. I'm not going to be quizzed on any of this shit anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
But what if you were to institute – or not institute. What if you were start a deep conversation? What if it was like paying attention isn't just about listening to a rattle about her mom, but like asking her opinions on world events and philosophical – leanings.
She would not know a goddamn thing about world events. She only knows what I walk around the house yelling about. That's where she gets all her news.
You're like the town crier.
Can you believe this shit?
Oh, it sounds good. No, it does sound very much like you're still in the honeymoon period to me.
What do you got going on, Q? You got anything of any good, anything happened in the past week or anything you're looking forward to coming up?
Yeah, we're really just the Planet of the Apes and Fall Guy is pretty much it for old BQ. We got the, I got the Radio City, got this, that, the other thing. No, not really, man. I'm just, in that thing where my head's down and I'm working. There's really no time for love, as they say. Sad.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it sounds like we're all three of us are struggling for worthy podcast fucking discussions.
Yeah. I got to do something. I just got to do something. I can talk about it. Well, we will talk about Radio City next week.
BQ can talk.
We could stretch it out another week.
How can we talk? Wait, we sat in the audience and watched.
I'm hoping I get attacked outside radio. Something to talk about. Some panhandler hits me over the head, whatever.
You guys. Okay. All right. There's so much to talk about. How could you feel that way?
Okay, now, I guess that's it then.
Yeah, well, now we're off to meet. We're gonna work on more of Bri Tries right after we sign off here.
Yeah, no, don't reveal
it. All right.
I won't reveal it. Yeah.
So should I say, tell him Steve Dave? I mean,
I guess. That's usually what comes next.
Tell him Steve Dave.
We're sorry.